Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Welcome to another edition of the Israelite Way of Life. Lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion. Show my people their sins and their transgressions. Time for us to come up out of her. I am Oda V, and this is the Israelite Way of Life, powered by the Social Change Action Network. We're glad to be with you here on this Shabbat, on the eve of the Feast of Trumpets. Serious time for our people, and we'll get into that a little bit later. That was my shofar that I was sounding, that I will continue to sound because it's a time of trumpets. We should be sounding the trumpets, letting everyone know that we're moving into judgment, the atonement. I pray that you've had a wonderful 6 days of work, wonderful week, and that this is your time of refreshing, your time to come before the Most High and honor the fourth commandment, which is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, to be Kodesh as he is Kodesh. Let's go before the Most High in prayer. our Abba which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Brothers and sisters, I think it's time to come up out of fashion and the trendy aspect of recognizing that we're the Hebrews. It's one thing to awaken. Another thing to be aware, and it's another thing to draw close to the Most High, Ahayaba Hashem Yeshah. It is that time for us to come to the knowledge and reality of what's expected of us. If you're going to walk this walk and talk this talk, it's time for the fractions and the separations to come to a stop, and the separation that has been caused by society between our brothers and our sisters and our races and our men, it's still prevalent because there's a spirit that's at work. So knowledge is no good without your deliverance and your humility and submission to the scriptures, the laws, the commandments, and what the Most High says, not your interpretation of the scriptures, because you need to solidify, validate, vindicate yourself, no, or to elevate yourself because you have never been anything. That's not what this is all about. This is about a reduction and the decreasing of your individuality, everything that society has put upon you to tell you that you need to have in order to exist. That's unreal. But you haven't been smashed by the hammer of the word quite yet. Because once you're smashed by the hammer of the word, you will allow the Ruach HaKadosh through the power of the Most High to put you back together again into the original specimen that he intended for you to be. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency may be of the power of the Most High and not of ourselves. If the treasure is in the vessel, how do we get to the treasure? The vessel has to be broken and destroyed. And that's the problem. We've got too much arrogance and pride. We've got too much arrogance and pride to allow the vicissitudes of life that are ordained by the Most High to destroy us, that he might remake us and fashion us like clay. Because once you're destroyed, there's access to the treasure that he's placed inside you, which is the Ruach, because he breathed inside of you. But we're so exteriorly challenged. We're worried about the exterior acceptance from mankind that we won't allow ourselves to be broken, that people can see the true essence of who we are, who the Most High is, so he can be revealed through us, the apocalypto, the unveiling. You're only riding in the vehicle. Most High wants to change your essence. When the woman came to him, and I'm just exhorting you before I get into our lesson about the trumpets and the commandments like I always do, I just feel led to exhort you for a second. When the woman came with the alabaster box and broke it, allowed the ointment to spill over his feet, Judas began to complain about how much money could have been made off of that, and he told her, now, this will always be remembered, but what I want you to remember is that what she wanted to bless him with was the inside of a box that had to be broken so she could pour it at his feet. What do you have to pour at his feet that you don't allow yourself to be broken? You're fighting off and staving off a lot of things that are coming your way, not realizing that these trials have come to make you strong because they come to reveal the true essence, because in your weakness is his strength made perfect. And inside of you lies something that's great. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Greater that is within me than anything in the world. So, brothers and sisters, with that being said, and it's indicative of where I'm going today with the lesson, these trumpets. Let's move right into the lesson. These trumpets, we understand, is this is actually the beginning of fall. The first of the three last festivals of feast for our people before we go into the new year. These are normally referred to as the high holy days, very high holy days, and you don't hear too much spoken of as it pertains to the Feast of Trumpets as it comes to scripture. You have a couple of scriptures, but there's not a serious breakdown. It's really just about sounding the trumpets, and there's a reason for sounding the trumpets, and we'll get into that. And the shofar is a very fascinating instrument. It's a ram's horn. Sometimes they would use an elk's horn. Various different horns were utilized, but they were made kodesh, strength, in order to produce certain sound, certain frequency. And these horns would be used in battles, such as the Battle of Jericho, the Battle of 2 Chronicles 20 and 22, where the singers were sent out and the tribes of Moab and Ammon and Seir were destroyed and completely destroyed one another just because they began to praise the Most High. And also you'll find that when you go back to Jericho, how we were to shout after the horns would blow, walls would begin to come down. So we find the Feast of Trumpets, we have reference in Leviticus 23 and 24. And I'm going to read that. Leviticus 23 and 24 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, blowing of trumpets, holy convocation." Now, let's be mindful that we have a double Sabbath on this particular weekend. We're not following any pagan calendar. We know that there's 7 days, not going off of Friday, Saturday. We have enough sense, but I'm not going to cover that type of lesson today. So this is the Shabbat. Tomorrow is the Feast of Trumpets, but we're just getting into it and just consolidating the two, because we're going to also talk about Apostle Paul, Apostle Luke, and how people thought just because they accepted Christ, they would walk away from the commandments and the laws and begin to follow pagan rituals, and that was not the case. To accept Christ is not to walk away from your beliefs and what you're rooted and grounded in, which is what the Christian church teaches today. The law is done away with, so therefore there is no moral standard. When you stand before him, just come judge you on if you were a good person, and that's not the case. When he opens the scrolls, it'll be based upon laws. Just like when you break laws here and you go to the court, you stand before the judge, and they talk about the various laws and statutes and ordinances that you broke and the penalties for that. Exactly what they're trying to emulate is what the Most High has established. This world got their order from Satan, and he, of course, got it from the Most High. So let's not even begin to think that the laws are done away with. Leviticus 23, 24, we already read. Let's go to Numbers 29, 1 through 6. You find that that is the other key scripture as it pertains to the Feast of Trumpets. I'm not broadcasting on tomorrow, so I want to cover some of this now. Also, just to be in a lesson on the Shabbat, many of you are probably preparing that lamb and putting those bitters on there, rosemary, thyme, barbecuing and baking. You're supposed to cook yesterday, so hopefully you're not doing any cooking, but you're preparing your feast. I mean, you all have your kosher wine, which I like to drink. So nevertheless, let's do Numbers 29, 1 through 6. Israel, Israel, Am Yasharala. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Let me say something before I finish reading this. It is amazing that even though we've gotten lost in time, because man has thought to change times and seasons to throw us off so that we're not on the frequency with the Most High and in sync with the way that things were originally set up, nature still knows. I'm amazed at the tree that sits in front of my home where leaves are beginning to fall off the tree, indicating that it's fall, it's autumn. Not based upon when man tells him it's autumn. Tree is already beginning to tell me that you will be raking these leaves off of the ground really soon. And I think if we became more Esau and Edomite will tell you you need to get in touch with nature. But they almost have a point, because what they're trying to say is that we need to get in touch with the Most High, His statutes, His laws, His feasts and festivals, because we have gotten away from something as we were under the curses and fell asleep as a people. And we are a part of nature, and that all of creation is groaning for us to return to our rightful place. When you begin to walk in these commandments, these statutes and laws, you begin to reap blessings, protection, understanding and wisdom in your life, and true guidance to fulfill the purpose, your mandate upon the earth. I just want to bring that out to you. Nature is even informing you that this is the Feast of Trumpets, the first day of fall, the beginning of the final three holy days. Let's go back to Numbers 29, 1 through 6. I just want to say that real quick. Chapter 29, verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy Kodesh convocation. Ye shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savior unto the Lord. One young bullock, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without blemish, and their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deers for a bullock and 2/10 deers for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you. Now, that's all I'm going to read. I know we try to keep these feasts and these festivals, but I don't see any of you being able to do all that. So a lot of this stuff is impossible, but the fact that you're recognizing it, that you're preparing yourself and your heart, and you're coming back into faith with the Most High and what you originally established in the Book of Jubilee, in the Book of the Torah, with Moses, with Enoch, with Noah, all of these things were given. This was our original order, and prophecy indicated to Moses that we would fall away and get away from these things and begin to follow after the Gentiles and their pagan rituals. And this is what's amazing to me, because as I mentioned, think in your mind for a second, the Hebrews could be converted by the thousands because of their acceptance of Christ as their Messiah. But they did not entail a rejection of their religious beliefs, which was the commandments, the laws, but the realization of Christ's expectation. When you say Christ came to fulfill the law, you must understand that that also means to clarify, to make it clear, and to explain it, and to bring into light what the prophets had spoken of him, for he was the law. Luke describes thousands of Hebrew converts as being zealous for the law in Acts 21 and 20. Look at that. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. They heard the gospel of Christ. This is key. They were excited, and they were still excited even more so about the law. Paul is described in his speeches as a Pharisee in Acts 23 and 6. He believed everything written in the law and the prophets. And Acts 24 and 14 speaks of that. And who has done nothing against the law of the Jews nor against the temple. That's Acts 25 and 8, Acts 28 and 17. Now, to prove that he lived in observance of the law, Paul agreed to undertake a ritual purification at the temple. That was during this time. You find that in Acts 21, 24. Let's go ahead and read it. Acts 21, 24 through 26. Them take and purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their head, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law, as touching the Gentiles, which believe we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood, and from strangled and from fornication. So, during his visit to Jerusalem about AD 58, it's evident that if Paul and the Jewish converts lived in the observance of the law, they could hardly have abandoned an important aspect of the law, namely, which was the calendar. So they became converts and disciples of Christ, but they kept the calendar, which established all of the feast. Go here for a minute with me. Imagine during that time, you're following the calendar, and there's another calendar being initiated, a pagan calendar by Rome, and suddenly because you start following Christ, you switch over to pagan rituals and times, and you couldn't even fathom that. Well, that in essence is what's happening today. No one's living under the law, but they all want to say they have Christ, but they're following a pagan Constantine calendar, this particular calendar that's in this earth, and keeping their festivals and feasts, and have done away with all the feasts of old, and saying that we don't have to keep the feasts of today. We can have Thanksgiving turkey and Easter turkey and Christmas turkey and do everything, Valentine's Day, and follow all the Roman gods and live up under this Gregorian calendar. It's because they presented to you a false Christ, a false image, a false way, a false religion, and they have you lost to where you don't even accept the Feast of Trumpets. But just go back in time and imagine Paul and them and all the disciples. Suddenly, because they have Christ and they're following him, now they keep Easter, Thanksgiving. No, they didn't do that. You don't see that. And that's in the New Testament for all you New Testament Christians. It's in the New Testament that they were even more so excited about their religious traditions, which were the feasts, after accepting Christ. Why? Because he came to clarify and fulfill the law. So it brought it more into validation and vindication for them, to wherefore they wanted to fulfill it and live it even more so, which should be what is happening with you and I, brothers and sisters, who know who Christ is. Now, mindful of the fact that they were eyewitnesses of Christ. They knew he was a man of color. They knew what he had come to establish. They knew the truth. They knew who the 12 tribes of Israel was and the scattered diaspora and what was to come, because he spoke of it. But they saw him live and die for it and ascend into the heavens. And so they were willing to die for it. But you got so much love for it, but you're faking, you're fronting, you on, you know, Facebook, you playing games, you down with the Hebrews, you know, I go out, I give out my little tracts and stuff, you know, I'm letting people know that, you know, Shabbat Shalom, brother, and all that. But we got so many fractions, divisions, camps, Ain't nobody really down for this, because brothers still smoking blunts, getting high, chasing women in fornication, adultery, divorcing like crazy, cussing each other out, and don't really have an understanding because we haven't got to the place where I was at in the beginning of this program. I've got to hurry up because I'm running out of time. And so the reason I'm making a reference about this is because you need to understand that this Feast of Trumpets is also a time that you should be scared out of your boots, because it meant 10 days from now we're going to the Feast of Atonement, which means we're going into judgment. And that means it was a time of judgment, that there was going to be a judgment. So it was a warning saying, we're getting ready to go into judgment. It didn't mean hurry up and get yourself right then. It was like whatever you have already done, you're getting ready to be judged for. So the people were lamenting and fasting and praying and preparing themselves, saying, I don't know what's going to befall me. So we just, even the Hebrews now, let's go have some lamb, let's have some wine and kick it. Yeah, brother, Shabbat Shalom. Yeah, blah. Yeah, brother Trumpet. Yeah, got your shofar. Yeah, brother, I'm a Hebrew. Yeah, man, we going to rule here. Gentiles. And this was a time of judgment. Probably need to put your lamb and wine up and think about the fact that you might be judged since you wrecked it. But when the final judgment comes, the final trumpet is going to sound. And this is what's going to take place. I wish people could understand that there must be a true following of Yeshua HaMashiach, and that one must be broken for him. I had no idea I was going to come to you in this fashion about the Feast of Trumpets. I wanted to explain. I'm sure there's plenty of brothers and sisters that can give you a breakdown, as well as Google and the Internet. And this being the beginning of fall, final three feasts coming up, but I need you to understand Day of Atonement was a time of fasting, pure fasting. But it was also judgment. Trumpets would have prepared you for judgment. So sound the trumpet. Let your brothers and sisters know that it's time to repent. True repentance will bring humiliation. I'll say humility, because you don't like that word. Humility, acceptance, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering, patience, kindness, gentleness, which a lot of us don't think is strength right now because we're still in captivity, especially brothers. They can't be all that. You know, brothers, you can show your strength when it's time to stand up and protect your family and protect your woman and protect your honor and your integrity and character, but you ain't got to walk around all the time with that same look, the look of captivity, because you're pissed. You believe these scriptures, you already know that our redemption and our salvation is coming. Romans 13:11, awake up out of sleep. Awake up out of sleep. That's what we got to preach. Our salvation is nigh. Listen, I'm Elder V, and I'm saying that what we always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it from truth. It's a journey, not a destination. Shabbat Shalom. Kwam Yasharala. Enjoy the feast, and may the Most High bless you and keep you.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. Outer space. the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Satan is a evil old man, but him can't choke it on I man. So when I shake him, I last in hand. And if him slip a gun with him hand, I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. I'm gonna send him to outer space to find another race. Yeah.